Welcome to the Pint Glass Football Podcast.
This is Pint Glass Football. We talk NFL and college football. PintGlassFootball.com is the website. Subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. I'm your host, Brad Fowler. What's up, PGF Nation? On Tuesday, we covered the divisional round games with our biggest takeaways, so go back and listen if you haven't already. But today, Jim Harbaugh, hired by the Chargers. We're going to give our thoughts on the hire, and of course, we're going to preview the AFC and NFC championship games, make predictions and betting picks for those. But joining me to break it all down, my co-host, Alex Higdon. Alex, what is going on?
There's no need for us to take the victory lap on this one. I mean, I think, you know, Stevie Wonder could have seen this one coming from a mile away.
I love it, man. I love it. Let's start with this big news. This story just broke right before we decided to record. There were some rumblings that this was going to happen. I think a lot of people knew that this was a potential fit, but it's official. Jim Harbaugh is going to leave the Michigan Wolverines. He's accepted a head coaching job with the LA Chargers. Numerous sites, numerous people have reported this. Adam Schefter, of course, on ESPN. I'm reading here that he's agreed to a five-year deal with the Chargers. This is a guy we know has had a ton of success everywhere he's gone, and he's one of the very few coaches, Alex, that has had a lot of success at both levels. We don't see a ton of guys, you know, the Jimmy Johnsons, the Pete Carrolls. You know, there's not a whole lot of guys that really translated and were all-time great college coaches and great NFL coaches. Harbaugh came up just short of a Super Bowl, made it to several NFC championship games, really had that team turned around, because that's really what he does, right? If you look at his resume, whether it was all the way back at San Diego, his time at Stanford, when he took over the Michigan job, when he took over the Niner job, all those programs were in desperate need of a rebuild, and he did it at all those places. Now the Chargers find themselves in a place where they need somebody to build this team back up. I think a lot of people are applauding this hire because the Chargers have notoriously gone cheap on coaches and kind of avoided the big splashy hires and opening their wallets to get an elite coach like this. They finally do it. How does he fit in LA?
He fits perfectly. And you know what? I'm going to take a step back. I am going to take a victory lap, because not only did I say he was going to leave Michigan, I had named where he was going before Brandon Staley was hired. So I am going to take a victory lap. But now on to the actual hire. You know, I guess we're going to look at this similar to how we looked at Pete Carroll going in and taking over Seattle and knowing a lot of these kids intimately and being able to find the Richard Shermans and all these other players deep into the draft for those first 2 to 3 years that he was there while he built that roster. You would be looking for the same thing, with the exception of he now comes into a team that seemingly has found their franchise quarterback, that has a lot of already great defensive pieces. Now, whether he keeps them or not, we'll find out later on about that, but they are a really good team. I think we've spoken about this a lot. The Chargers, for pretty much most of the past 20 years, have been the most talented team in our division, always the most talented team. I mean, hell, they went through from Doug Flutie to Drew Brees to Phillip Rivers, now to Justin Herbert. You know, that's kind of unprecedented. You know, four solid quarterbacks, and three of them one is definitely a Hall of Fame, and then two are potentially on their way to the Hall of Fame, and Phillip Rivers and perhaps Justin Herbert. So this team has always been talented. They've just always lacked the coaching. And we've spoken about it, the Spanos family. We know what happened in San Diego, why they're in LA. They're paying their dollar a year rent to the LA Rams to stay, to go into that stadium. They've been cheap on the coaching side, always going on the low end and then underperforming, having a great year here and there. But now you finally go and you get yourself a coach. Hard nose, going to be very interesting in that front office with ownership, because as we know from some of our counterparts, how things went with ownership in San Francisco. But as far as him on the field, you better be ready to play. You better be able to play, else he is going to be moving you out of the way to get to his goal. He's already conquered college. He's now ready to come back and finish the job that he started in the NFL. I think a great job by the Chargers. I think a lot of players are going to be looking to get out that know of Jim Harbaugh, and he's going to be pulling in the players that he wants to play for him. So the AFC West, we thought it was going to be interesting last year. This past season, it just got way more interesting just now.
Absolutely, and a whole lot more competitive because, like I said, the guy's track record speaks for itself. If you look at what he did in college, obviously we just saw him win the national championship at Michigan, completely rebuilt that program. When he left the NFL, this was a guy who was a NFL coach of the year. He took over the 49ers when they were in a complete rebuild. That team had missed the playoffs 8 straight seasons when they hired Harbaugh, and he basically immediately turned them into a winner, had them in deep playoff runs and in a Super Bowl where they came up just short. Like you said, he's got this young franchise quarterback, and he's got some pieces here. So the cupboard isn't totally bare in LA. He's got some guys he can work with, but I think you're right. He's going to shape and mold this roster in the culture that they've lacked for so long. He will infuse this team with all of those things. I would be shocked if this team isn't very competitive even year one, but by year two, year three, it's hard to think just based on his track record that this team will not be contending in the AFC.
You know, we were looking forward to a lot of things coming into this season from the AFC West, but a lot more to look for. And just some quick cleanups. We know that the Vic Fangio has left the Dolphins and departed for the Eagles as their defensive coordinator. We know Tom Telesco is now the new GM for the Las Vegas Raiders as well. And Joe Barry's been fired from the Packers. So there's a lot of change happening on the coaching front, usually as expected as we get into deeper into the playoffs. So it's going to be interesting to continue to watch as we move forward.
Yeah, Joe Barry, not totally shocking. I think most Packer fans are applauding that move. I know he's been kind of a disappointment there as a defensive coordinator. They've had some struggles on that side of the ball. Vic Fangio to the Eagles, wow, that's a home run hire.
I mean, that
Eagles defense really fell apart this year, especially the second half of the year. They were reeling, and now you bring in one of the best defensive minds in the game, a guy whose system, quite honestly, has been copycatted all over the league. This was a huge, huge hire for a team that sees itself as a contender, that wants to get back to being a contender after that free fall we saw at the end of the season. That's a great start. AFC Championship. Huge matchup, of course. Kansas City Chiefs, Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson versus Mahomes. I know that's kind of the simple way to look at this, but let's face it. You've got two young elite quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson is actually 3-1 in his career versus Mahomes. So this is a guy who's had a lot of success. This Ravens team has had a lot of success in recent years versus this Chiefs team. They've kind of struggled when they face Baltimore. And Alex, we know Lamar is the most athletic quarterback probably of all time. I mean, this guy is really just a unicorn, the best running quarterback of all time. He is a nightmare to defend. He is such a matchup problem for just about any team. And this version of him that we've talked so much about this year, it's just different this year. It just feels different. It looks different. This is the best version we've ever seen from Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, absolutely. And I talked about it, and I remember when we around week 3, I said I saw the best throws that I've seen Lamar make in his entire career, and they were both incompletions. They were both deep passes to OBJ where he got 2 DPIs, and it wasn't the fact that they were complete, it was the fact that he threw it. These are the throws that he was not making last year that he started making this year, and we saw the matriculation, how the Todd Monken offense and how comfortable he felt in that offense, knowing when to run, knowing when to pull back, knowing when to push forward. And as you said, the most athletic and gifted in total when you encompass everything. So it's going to be really interesting. I spoke about it on the other pod. If you haven't had a chance, please take a step back and go listen to our previous pod covering the divisional rounds. But Spagnuolo versus Lamar Jackson is really the key matchup to me. I just keep reiterating that. I think that is so key. And I think Spagnuolo is so underrated. He is not talked about enough. I've been saying for the past 6 or 7 weeks that the Chiefs are the best defense to me in the league, just given where they are, what they've overcome, how they've been had to win games throughout this entire season. I am ready to see this boxing matchup, because this isn't going to be a slugfest, Tyson versus whoever. This is going to be technical boxing, you know, by the likes of people like Floyd Mayweather, where you're going to have to watch, and it's not going to be a knockout. It's going to be not going to be a slugfest. It's going to be technical knockouts. I'm not going to take big shots here. I'm not going to take big shots there. I'm going to pick and choose. I'm methodically going to break you down, whether it be from Lamar breaking down that Chiefs defense or whether it be from Spags and his defensive calls that break down Lamar. I don't think there's even going to be a lot of turnovers. I think it's just going to be a true 2 hour long chess match that we're going to see between that defense and Lamar Jackson.
Absolutely, man. And you're right about Spags. Hall of Famer if he retired today. First ballot. The guy is unreal, but I still don't think he gets enough credit. I am completely with you. One of the best defensive coordinators of all time. The guy is awesome, and he's really awesome in big games. That matchup, Spags versus Todd Monken, wow. I mean, there is so many key matchups to watch in this game. We talked about Lamar Jackson, and what's interesting about this matchup to me is the Chiefs really struggled versus the run last week, and Josh Allen in particular ran all over this team. 73 yards, 6 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns. They really could not contain him on the ground. Well, we just talked about Lamar and his ability. I mean, Lamar running is like Josh Allen on steroids. This is a whole nother monster here. But the other part of this, Alex, the Ravens running back room is deep. And this is a team that will commit to the run, unlike the Bills, who really had success running the ball and went away from it in the second half, which we talked about. I thought it was a mistake by Buffalo. I don't see Harbaugh making that same mistake. I think this team is going to be able to run the ball and move the ball on the ground and try to control this game, because one of the best defenses against Patrick Mahomes is keeping him on the sideline. And the Ravens, I mean, they ran all over the Texans, and the Texans had the best rush defense in the entire NFL, and they couldn't do anything to stop this running game. Nick Bolton and those Kansas City linebackers, I think, are going to have to play their A game in this one. Now, look, Nick Bolton's one of the best in the game. He was awesome last week versus the Bills. But once again, this offense is a different animal, especially on the ground. Last week, the Texans were really aggressive. DeMeco Ryans was dialing up the blitz on 75% of the time in that game, and it didn't even faze Lamar. I mean, he just went through his reads, made the right play, whether it was either a run or pass. Just unbelievable decision-making. I keep going back to that with Lamar, just knowing what to do in the right situations, knowing where to go with the football. That Baltimore offensive line, Alex, I don't think they get enough credit. They've been lights out. The Chiefs had the second most sacks this year. So to me, that's another key matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially the news that came out today about Joe Tooney. Tough guy. We know him from New England. I think he's still going to play. But when you have Mata Buke, and as you just alluded to, that Ravens defensive line that led the league in sacks, you're going to want your guys up there as well. You know, one thing about the Chiefs, that offensive line did come along and get a lot better as the year went along. Specifically that interior. Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, who's probably, if not the best, probably second best center in the league at his young age, and then Tyler Smith with those two tackles. They really helped bring those tackles along, because there was a lot. It was really nervous, specifically if you're watching Juwan Taylor early on. There was a lot of talk about how would the Chiefs be able to overcome the deficiencies they had at the tackles. But I think, and I'm sorry I did not look up the offensive line coach for Kansas City, but they brought those guys along to get them where they are once again in an AFC championship game. And when you have Patrick Mahomes in an AFC championship game, you have a chance.
Alex, another matchup that I know you're going to be excited to watch. I know I am. And this one, I circle all pro cornerback Trent McDuffie versus rookie Zay Flowers. That is a key matchup to watch, Alex. McDuffie has been awesome this year, and he mostly plays that nickel corner position. Zay Flowers plays a lot in the slot. So this is a matchup that I think we're going to see a lot in this game. And man, is that a fun one, because Zay Flowers has been one of the best rookie wide receivers. He has been a huge difference maker for this Baltimore offense. Him going up against McDuffie, man, that is going to be such a fun battle. And who wins that battle consistently is going to go a long ways in this game. But the Kansas City secondary in general, I think, is going to be key in this game, Alex. OBJ, Bateman, Nelson Aguilar, the tight ends, Isaiah Likely, who we've talked about and how well he's played. Mark Andrews sounds like he could be back for this game. We know how special a tight end he is. I expect some 12 personnel in this game. But when I look at this offense, and like you said, this Kansas City defense is legit. They are for real. And there's a lot of interesting matchups here with some of these players I mentioned. But this Ravens offense, Alex, when I go down it, I don't find any holes.
Yeah, you're gonna fight to see a lot. And, you know, you were talking about that we were talking off air. You talk about how you dug into some tape. And one of the things I did want to really see, because the Ravens don't really play outside the numbers, even though they have some weapons in Bateman and OBJ, they still primarily contain themselves with inside the numbers and the slot receiver that Zay Flowers is, as well as likely. And you spoke about Andrews, you know, and I'll talk about him in a moment. But one of the things that I was able to watch, there was a game of Kansas City versus Detroit that I really dug in. I found this tape in terms of Trent McDuffie in the slot, shadowing Amon St. Ra as he motioned into the slot and how he covered him. And now, I think Zay Flowers is going to be a very talented wide receiver in this league. He ain't Amon St. Ra. And the downs that I watched where Trent McDuffie had to cover Amon St. Ra in the slot, he was smothered. So if he can play to this level, I think this is going to be, again, that's why I'm saying that it's going to be Spags versus Lamar in the offense in terms of what they can give up. I think Monken is going to be able to do some things, but I think the veteran leadership of Spagnuolo and the things that these Snead as well as McDuffie can do, they're going to be able to do some things that I don't believe the Ravens have seen before. The only thing that we'll really have to talk about, because I don't think Mark Andrews is going to be that much effective. I think in 12 personnel, he's really going to be relegated to just blocking. I don't think he's not going to be as mobile as we are accustomed to seeing him to be the target that he's used to being for Lamar. So this is really going to be on Isaiah Likely. And I think they're going to be able to scheme some things. We're going to have to look and see what they're going to do, if they're going to use Nick Bolton as the spy, or if they're going to put Tranquil on. Who's going to be guarding Likely is going to be very key in this situation, because I think they can really smother them. And then the real thing where I think the damage can be done by the Ravens, because as we saw with Buffalo, is that rushing game, because we saw what Josh Allen did. We saw what Cook did. We also saw what Ty Johnson did. And they are a three-headed monster, as we saw last week when they started to insert Dalvin Cook. So I think they're cooking up some things, pun intended. They're cooking up some things that they're going to throw at this Chiefs defense that they haven't seen before at all three levels, the quarterback, the RB1, as well as the RB2 and Cook.
Yeah, like I said, they're just deep. They're deep at that position. The offensive line is awesome. They've got playmakers. That secondary for the Chiefs, not only are they going to have to cover, they're going to have to tackle. And these guys are really good tacklers. McDuffie, Snead, these guys are really good at helping out in the run defense. When I look at this Ravens team, though, Alex, this team is not only battle-tested, because they won the best division in the NFL. Actually, you can make a case they won the best division in NFL history this season. This was the first division where every single team had a winning record. Three teams went to the playoffs. I mean, that's never been done in the modern era. They blew out a bunch of playoff teams this year. Houston twice, Cleveland, Miami, Detroit, and San Francisco this year. Blew them all out. Two of those teams, as we know, are in the NFC Championship game. They also beat the Rams, who were a really good playoff team. When I flip it to Kansas City's resume, their only real blowout wins were against the Chargers and the Bears. It's just not the same resume. Some of the best teams they played this year, the Lions, the Packers, the Bills in the regular season, of course, they lost to those teams, and they only have one win over a playoff team this year. It was a close win versus the Dolphins. The Chiefs have a really good defense, and Pacheco gives them a tough, tough running game. And I think he's going to have to be a factor. But with all this talk, I haven't even mentioned the Ravens defense. And it's one of the best front sevens in the entire NFL. One of the best linebacker duos in Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen. It's the number one defense in points per game allowed. Kelce, who we know is another guy that has to be good in this game, I think if the Chiefs are going to win, he's going up against the second toughest defense for tight ends this year. And this defense suffocates wide receivers too. So I don't think this is going to be an easy matchup for Rashee Rice and these guys either. Kyle Hamilton, another guy to circle here. He is so good. I think he has the talent and the skill set. He's good enough to cover Kelce one-on-one. I'll be really interested to see how much we see that in this game. But those linebackers can cover too. So I think Kelce is in for a really tough challenge in this game. The Kansas City O-line, like you said, Alex, they could be without first-team all-pro guard Joe Thuney. That's a big loss if he doesn't play, and it sounds like he's not going to. That's huge because this Ravens team led the NFL in sacks this year. They were top five in quarterback pressure. You've got two great defenses, but, man, this Ravens defense is absolutely for real.
One of the things that I'll say, Brad, and looking at the three losses that matter, the last one we don't count, Pittsburgh, as well as the Colts, one thing that was constant with these teams, they ran the ball 30 or more times in terms of making it into a little bit of a street fight. And I know Kansas City has been more of a finesse team, but I think they've built this team a little bit more brand tough, a little bit more four tough to use a brand name. And I think that they can get nasty with them. Now, they may not have the tough running backs that although those other teams had, but if you're telling me, you know, basically Pacheco, who runs like Marion Barber III, for those of you who remember him, and you can use McKinnon a little bit. Clyde Edwards-Helaire throughout the year has been flashing all over the place. I'm not sure if he was hurt the past two seasons, but he's surely been flashing. So if you're telling me you can use those three running backs and really get to 30 rushes or more, because even in the previous games, I thought they didn't run him enough because he was very effective in the run. I think they should be gearing him up. He should be icing up now because I think that they should be running the ball a lot in this situation, trying to turn it into a little bit of a street fight and then maybe hitting them over the top whenever they can, because Scantling seems to want to earn his contract within the last game. And then obviously Rashee Rice is slowly becoming a guy. And we know what they're going to do with Kyle Hamilton as well as Kelce. I think he's going to be really blanketed a lot. And I think those guys are going to see a lot of single coverage on the outside and be in the position to make some plays. It's just a matter if they make it. You know, don't drop the ball or be out of position as we've seen throughout the season. An excuse for Rashee Rice as a rookie, no excuse as Scantling as they, you know, we saw what he did throughout the season. But I think that they are going to be doing a lot of pounding of the ball and taking their shots slowly, similar to what the Ravens are going to do, I believe, on their side, because I think they have a lot of respect for this Kansas City defense. Chess match, I'm going to be watching this like a hawk, and then the film breakdown after is going to be one of the greatest joys of my life.
Absolutely, man. And like I said, I think Pacheco is a key guy in this game because I think you're right, Alex. He has to play like an all-pro if the Chiefs are going to win this game. So before I get to mine, I'm going to start with you, Alex. Who do you got, and who are you taking from a betting angle as well? So give me your prediction for the winner and the betting side that you like here. Last I checked, the Ravens were a 3.5-point favorite.
Listen, Patrick Mahomes has entered the Brady/LeBron room for me where I'm just simply not going to bet against you. I didn't bet against Brady. I picked the Buccaneers to beat the Cowboys, even though everything in me would have told me not to take that. I'm just simply not going to get a bet against. I did it last week, and once again, I'm following my intuition, and I'm sticking with Patrick Mahomes again. I think this is going to be a very close game. I have it 21-20 coming down to the last minute where the Ravens can't get the – I believe the Ravens will have the ball, but they won't have enough of an explosive play to get down the field to score, with Patrick Mahomes once again proving that he is going to go down as one of the GOATs and now going through the road in terms of his travels to get to the Super Bowl once again.
Yeah, man. Andy Reid and Mahomes are the ultimate X factor. It's so hard to bet against these guys. I got burned last week. And I said it last week on the episode. I still think the Bills are the better team. I really do. And they outplayed them for most of that game. But Mahomes and Reid, it's like you said, you just can't bet against these guys. Having the edge at head coach and quarterback is so important. But in this matchup, that edge, it's not as big as most games because Harbaugh is a top five coach. Lamar has played like an MVP all season. And when I look at these teams, and we broke it down, we went deep here, guys, but from top to bottom, this Ravens roster is just better. And I think it's hard to dispute that. They match up well. They're at home. I'm taking Baltimore here, and I'm doing it, and I'm nervous about it. I am nervous about it. I'm going to lay – it's actually 3 points. Excuse me, Alex. Last I checked, it was 3.5. It looks like at some books it's 3. I'll lay the 3 points here, even though that Chiefs team makes me really nervous, because Patrick Mahomes is so special in these big games. He really is the ultimate X factor, but I just can't go against the team that I think is the better team. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. I personally love the Pick'em game. Just pick between 2 and 5 players to build a Pick'em entry. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. You can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Download the Underdog Fantasy app and sign up today with promo code PGF. That's promo code PGF to get your first deposit doubled up to $100. The official ticketing app of Pintglass Football is now SeatGeek. I can't recommend them enough, guys. I've been using SeatGeek for years. You want to go to a game this season? SeatGeek is here to take the confusion out of buying tickets, making sure you get the best seats at the best prices. With SeatGeek, you'll never have to worry about overpaying for tickets again. How? They put a 0 to 10 score on each ticket, so you know you're getting a good deal. But here's the real game changer. You can get $20 off your first ticket purchase with the code PGFPOD. That's right, $20 off with code PGFPOD. This season, make every game day epic with SeatGeek. Download the SeatGeek app and remember to enter the code PGFPOD to grab your $20 discount. You know what's important when you're having a good time? Staying hydrated. And that's where Liquid IV comes in, the category-winning hydration brand that's fueling your well-being. With just one stick of Liquid IV, you get 2 times faster hydration than water alone, plus 5 essential vitamins to keep you feeling your best. And let's not forget about the convenience factor. The packaging is perfect for on the go, whether you're tailgating or just hanging out on the couch. But what really sets Liquid IV apart is the amazing flavors. Personally, I'm all about the Concord Grape and Lemon Lime. And with 3 times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks, Liquid IV is made with premium ingredients to give you the hydration and nourishment you need. Get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code PGFP at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code PGFP at liquidiv.com. Zencastr is the ultimate web-based podcasting solution. It provides high-quality audio and video podcast production and hosting. With a full suite of professional tools, podcasters can seamlessly record, produce, and publish studio-quality content all from one dashboard. Zencastr's post-production process takes the headache out of audio production. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with a click of a button. Coordinating all your guests to record in person is painful and tedious. Easily invite up to 11 participants per recording with one click. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code PGFP and you'll get 30% off your first 3 months of Zencastr Professional. I want you to have the same easy experiences I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story. NFC Championship game, Alex. 49ers, Lions. A lot of interesting matchups in this one. I'm going to start with probably the best player on the field, the guy that I think is the lock to win Offensive Player of the Year, Christian McCaffrey, and the 49ers running game. It's one of the best in the NFL. It's third in yards per game. they run the ball consistently, or I should say when they run the ball consistently, they almost never lose. So their run game versus those Detroit linebackers in that front seven for Detroit, I think, is a huge matchup to watch in this game. The Lions have struggled to stop the run these playoffs, but they were really good in the regular season versus the run. So it's going to be interesting to see what trend, you know, if that trend continues with them having a tough time versus the run, or do they get back to the team that we saw in the regular season where they were really stout against the run? So key matchup there. Jared Goff, of course, is a guy to watch because he is having a career year, and he's getting a lot of credit right now, getting this team to the NFC Championship game, but I still don't know if it's enough. He has been great in these playoffs. We've talked about the Detroit offensive line. If they can give him time in this game, which I think they can, because we know how good they are, I think he could have a big game in this one, but he's going up against a 49ers team that had a top five pass defense this year. A lot of interesting matchups. St. Brown, like you mentioned earlier, Sam Laporta, the star rookie tight end. Jameson Williams has been coming on for Detroit. They've got some real playmakers here, Alex. What is a key matchup, or what is maybe one of the first key matchups that you're looking for in this game?
Well, the first key matchup is the most critical to me, and I alluded to it last pod. I will say it again. This will be the Jahmyr Gibbs versus Christian Gonzalez choice that the Lions made in that draft, because one thing we know is that Kyle Shanahan knows how to scheme his receivers open. And we know that that Lions defensive backfield is not good at all. You know, they have, you know, we know CJ Gardner Johnson is back there, but it'll be really how do they handle. I know Debo may or may not be playing, but I don't think it matters. With Jennings, with Ayuk, with Kittle, and then when they throw in Christian McCaffrey out there, I don't think that Detroit's going to be able to handle it. So that's really going to be my first thing that I'm looking at is, what are you doing about that, about those receivers, and how are you covering them? Now, obviously, if they can get to the quarterback, Aiden Hutchinson is showing and proving that he should have been the number one pick in that draft, and showing and proving that he is a guy. So that's obviously going to be key when he's not going against Trent Williams. However, have you seen any leaks in the 49er offensive line? Because I haven't. I think they've been holding up and holding up strong. So that Detroit defensive backfield is in trouble, and they're going to be in for a long night.
Brock Purdy versus that Lions pass defense, I think it's a huge matchup. I don't think there's any doubt that that's one that you have to circle. Purdy has been great this year. We know how good he's been, but we've seen the rain twice this season kind of affect his game. And I think weather is actually going to be key. This is something you pointed out last week, Alex, pointed to the weather before the game. And what's interesting is actually Jared Goff is actually terrible in the rain as well. So if it rains, this is going to be a really interesting watch. On the other side, the Niners defense. So that Niners defense has been one of the best in the NFL, but they didn't look like it versus the Packers. And if I'm a Niners fan, that's got to have me a little nervous, because they absolutely have to stop the run better, or they could be in trouble in this game. Because the Lions, behind Penei Sewell and company, that great O-line, I mean, they could really get going downhill. Weather aside, let's say, I think last I checked, it's supposed to be clear. If the weather is good, I think this is a game where Brock Purdy could carve up this defense. I'm with you. Now, I think the Debo Samuel injury, I'm putting maybe a little more weight on that than you are. This team has not looked the same without Debo. They just don't have the same fluidity. He brings such a dynamic, game-changing type of ability and just all the different things he can do. I've talked about it in the past. He opens the playbook up. So that injury, I think, is a big storyline. It's something to watch, because right now it sounds like he's questionable. I don't know for sure. I haven't seen anything where he's ruled out, but we don't know what kind of Debo we're going to get here, if he's going to play or if he's going to be 100%. Probably not 100%, but how much of a factor is he going to be? I think a key matchup for the Lions is those running backs, and you hit on it. Gibbs and Montgomery, I mean, they've been a really good 1-2 punch this year, but they're going up against maybe the best linebacker duo in the NFL. I mean, them or Baltimore, the other team I just mentioned earlier, Dre Greenlaw, Fred Warner, I mean, these guys are awesome. Who wins that battle, I think, is going to be huge.
So, Brad, as you were talking, I did take a look. So the weather is going to be 73, 4% chance of rain. So 73, and it's not going to rain. And wind is going to be 5 miles an hour. So this is perfect weather. So they'll be able to throw the ball. We won't have the issues, the glove on or glove off issues that they had for Purdy last week. He shouldn't have those issues at all. I think one of the other things that we need to talk about, and it's something that we used to talk about a lot with the New Orleans Saints with Drew Brees, it's what is Drew Brees inside versus what is Drew Brees outside. And we know the difference when they have to play. When Detroit is on that carpet, they are fast-tracked and they can do some things. When they have to leave, they're not the same team. That's one other thing that we have to talk about as well, those little nuances that don't really play or show up statistically in terms of that you can put your finger on right away. It's the fact that they're an indoor team. Now they're going into San Francisco, even though the weather will be great, but it's still an outdoor track. The other thing, and you alluded to it with the running backs, and I talked about it again, you should really take it, if you haven't already, take a step back, listen to our previous pod, and everything I'm about to say will make more sense. We talked about the pin and pull and the success rate that the Green Bay Packers had against San Francisco, where they were not able to stop it even going into halftime. They didn't make any adjustments to stop it. You now have at least a top three offensive line going to San Francisco. If Ben Johnson and Dan Campbell and staff don't take a look at the things that Green Bay did to really cause a lot of issues for San Francisco on the ground, you mentioned Greenlaw, you mentioned Fred Warner, but those linebackers did not know what to do with that pin and pull, whether it was to the left, whether it's to the right, they were stuck. You now come in with, we know Frank Ragnow may have injury, but again, another tough guy, he's going to be there. If you don't put this offensive line to use and make this a fight in the phone booth, I don't know when the Lions will ever have another chance to be in this position again. But these opportunities are always fleeting. When you have your chance, you have to strike while the iron is hot. Because if Ben Johnson leaves next year, who knows what this is going to look like. And I may be forecasting out, but this is your shot. This is your time. You can't come in there trying to play outside of who you are. You have the best offensive line in the league. You have two star running backs. You drafted this kid. You need to prove me wrong that you did not make a mistake by drafting Jahmyr Gibbs and not drafting Christian Gonzalez while Brock Purdy throws for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns, and you give Gibbs only 13 carries for maybe 40 or 50 yards and a couple of catches. Prove me wrong. Go in there with the running, leading with the run. That's the only way that I can see the Lions winning this game. Going into that stadium, offensive line, and just simply bullying them because they have the ability to do it and run the ball down their throat.
Yeah, absolutely, Alex. I agree. That is a huge, huge matchup. I think if the Lions can run the ball consistently, which I think they could here, and I think when they watch that tape of that Packers game, they've got to be smiling because they know the type of talent, like you mentioned, that offensive line, their running backs, and we know how good Goff can be off of play action. They've got to be thinking they have an advantage here. And the 49ers, as good as that defense has been, they've been basically top five across the board. The one area that's been a little bit lacking is the run defense. They're a middle-of-the-road rush defense this year. So if you're going to beat them, that's the way to do it. And Detroit has a big advantage there when it comes to that. So you're right. If I'm Ben Johnson, if I'm Dan Campbell, I'm going into this off week here saying, what do we got to do to make sure that we control this game on the ground? That also kind of goes back to Purdy, and when the 49ers have the ball, they've got to be thinking, we need to get up early. We need to get up early in this game, hit some big plays downfield, get a couple score lead, and force them out of the running game. Force them to try to beat them with Goff. And look, Goff's been great. I'm not trying to take a shot at him, but we know he's really at his best, and this offense is at its best when they run the ball. So that is such a fascinating watch. An X factor for me, I think, is going to be Aiden Hutchinson once again. I talked about him being an X factor, and he was a monster last week. I think he could be a problem for the Niners right tackle. That's the one spot on this O-line that's been a little shaky. What's your prediction for the game? So give me a winner and give me a betting pick here for the NFC Championship.
So I'm taking San Francisco outright. I'm going to lay the 7 points. I know the over-under is 15.5. I know why it's over. That's the over-under. And I'm actually going to take the under, but I'm going to lay the 7, and I'm going to take the 49ers to win the game. I think it could be close, but I think in that fourth quarter, I think Jared Goff is going to make a mistake. They're going to get away from the run, and I'm just going off of what they've just been doing. They simply have not been consistent in these critical games in terms of the run. They just haven't. We know that Jahmyr Gibbs had, you know, once we know he puts his foot in the dirt, and he's moving north and south, and he's moving at the speed of a Ferrari. So we know what he's capable of, but they just haven't been consistent when at least I thought they should have been running the ball more. I know I talked about that with the 49ers as well. However, and specifically with the Lions, because I just don't believe they have the weapons to really disrupt what the 49ers have in the backfield the same way that the Packers are. However, they have this run game. Have run game, will travel. Just use it. All you have to do is run the ball, and you will have a chance. If the Lions get out of character, they will not have a chance. So I'm going to lay the 7. I'm taking the 49ers, and I'm going to take them 27-19.
Gosh, Alex, I get the feeling this game is going to be closer than people think. I really do, and I think it comes down to, like you said, I think Detroit can run the ball and control this game and limit the San Francisco 49ers offensive possessions. On the other side, I don't know if San Francisco is going to be able to run the ball as well as they'd like in this game, especially if Debo is out. I think Detroit finds a way to keep this game close. I really do. I actually think that this could be an upset alert here. I'm not picking the upset. I don't have the stones, but I'm going to take Detroit +7. I just think that's too much value. You're getting a full touchdown here on the point spread. And quite frankly, because like I said, I think Detroit could win this game. I really do. I think they match up pretty well, and they have the advantage at some really key spots. But I'm going to take the Niners to win in a close one. If you guys enjoy the podcast, subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. But once again, I'm Brad Fowler. He's Alex Higdon. This is Pint Glass Football, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Pint Glass Football Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and follow us on Twitter @PGF Podcast.